This season, let your shoes do the talking. Designer Shoe Warehouse is packed with fresh styles that speak to your whole vibe without saying a word. From cool sneakers that look good with everything to easy sandals you'll want to wear on repeat, DSW has you covered. Find a shoe for every you from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, New Balance, and more. Head to your DSW store or visit DSW.com today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Some people follow the rules, but where's the fun in that? I'm Soraya, and this is Rule Breakers, the podcast where we celebrate the rebels, the risk takers, and the ones who make their own way. Every week, I sit down with the boldest voices in sports, entertainment, and beyond to talk about breaking barriers, defying expectations, and rewriting the rules. No limits, no apologies, just real talk. Follow and listen to Rule Breakers with Soraya, an Odyssey podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
8:17, Peyton Malone saying there's a 60% chance today that somebody's going to get some heavy rain like we had yesterday. And looking at the sewage and water board's, on the website, the dashboard, turbine 5 and 6 are online, 4 is available, 5 out of 5 EMDs are available, 89 of 93 major pumps are available, and you would presume they'd pump all the canals down and do everything they can to get ready for another rain event. And then somebody texted in and said, something about they didn't like Peyton Malone's forecast because they couldn't tell him definitely what was going to happen and wish they would do like other countries and jail them when they're wrong too often. I don't know why people text in the things they do. I honestly don't. Bill joins us right now. Bill Alexander, CEO of the National Law Enforcement Officers Memorial Fund. Bill's got nearly 30 years of law enforcement experience, starting with the U.S. Air Force as a security police officer at Andrews Air Force Base. After being honorably discharged, he joined the Prince George's County Police Department in Maryland. That's a community which borders Washington, D.C. How you doing, Bill?
Tommy, I'm doing great. I so appreciate you having me back on to talk about Police Week and the heroes that we'll honor this year.
Yeah, let's talk about that. But first, I just want to talk about that text that I got about jailing meteorologist. I get some texts that make me raise my eyebrows and just talk about, if you will, the nature of police work before we get to the ceremonies this week, just because it seems as though I think sometimes people text me because they get, you know, aggravated about this or aggravated about that, and they just need to vent. But when it comes to police work, and this is the reason I brought that up, police officers are seldom seeing people when they're at their happiest or at their best, right?
That is absolutely true. In fact, quite the opposite. Police officers usually encounter people when they are at their absolute worst, experiencing some of the worst moments in their life, maybe the worst moment in their life. You know, dealing with death, destruction, the loss of property, the number of crimes just go on and on. And so police officers are interacting with people usually when they're really having a horrible day and perhaps something far worse than that. So, and on top of that, much of the police work that, you know, the men and women out on our streets working to protect us, it's oftentimes very dangerous. To some degree, it's probably dangerous for the public, but certainly it can be and has been historically very dangerous for the police officers as well. Of course, every single year, police officers die in the line of duty serving and protecting us. And that, of course, is part of what we're going to talk about here shortly in terms of Police Week and honoring those men and women who died in 2024 and years prior.
And I always like to put, you know, myself in the shoes of other people or the listening audience in the shoes of other people. And when it relates, as it relates to police officers, if I can make a comparison to maybe a waiter or a bartender or something like that, and what police officers do is night and day different than that. But here's the thing. Or maybe a salesman. Maybe you get a bad client, a bad customer, whatever, and then you try not to let it ruin your day. But when it comes to police officers, every client, every customer is going to be a problem because that's why the police are there in the first place, right? So it's hard for a police officer, I would think, to deal with that every day.
You know, it really can be a struggle to sort of cleanse your mental palate from one call to the next. I remember one day where I went to the hospital for an infant who had died from sudden infant death syndrome, then went to a report call, and then went to a suicide. Mm. And, you know, you string together those kinds of calls, and it's just incredibly difficult to sort of, you know, again, cleanse that mental palate and refresh yourself and recognize that you need to bring, you know, the best part of you to whoever the next call is and interact with each person you meet with in a hopefully a positive way. It can be very, very difficult.
God bless the people that do it, man. I wouldn't. And Lord knows they're not getting rich doing it. Let me take a break, Bill. We'll talk about the ceremonies this week, okay?
Sure, that'd be great.
Bill Alexander, CEO of the National Law Enforcement Officers Memorial Fund. I know a lot of people tend to get on police officers and complain about this or that or the other thing, but I think you just need to put yourself in their uniform and understand everything it is that they go through, because, as we said, you're dealing with people at their absolute worst, and there are few good customers. The next guy you go to or the next woman you go to, it's going to have the same problems or some other issue as the one before. 822, traffic now, WWL. 6827, Tommy Tucker, WWL, talking to Bill Alexander, our friend, CEO of the National Law Enforcement Officers Memorial Fund. I appreciate the men and women that serve in law enforcement. I would never do it myself, and God bless them that do. Tell me about this week coming up and what's going to happen with the week, Bill.
Sure, yeah. So Police Week is broadly from May 11th through May 16th. Those dates are relatively stable every single year. Thousands, literally tens of thousands of law enforcement professionals, survivors, families, friends, and even just citizens from both around the country and around the world come to help celebrate the profession and also to help us memorialize the men and women who have died serving us. Of course, the notable key event for us is the Candlelight Vigil. It's hosted by the Memorial Fund. It's on the National Mall. It's always on May 13th at 8 p.m. on the Mall. And it's there where we will read aloud the names of this year, the 345 men and women who died in calendar year 2024 and the years prior, all of them having served in some law enforcement function and died in the line of duty serving us. And so we will read aloud the names of those men and women most recently added to the memorial walls, of course, very sacred to us, that National Law Enforcement Officers Memorial, the place where we, both as an organization, and I think all of us, citizens of this great country, have the opportunity to memorialize, to think about, to honor our responsibility to never forget those men and women who served and sacrificed everything for us.
When it comes to things that the average person needs to remember today, if they should interact with a police officer, what would you like them to know?
You know, I hope that your audience particularly has a positive feeling about law enforcement professionals and the men and women out on the street. I hope that they would remember that every single one of those men and women is a father or a mother, a daughter or a son, a brother or a sister. They are equally as human as everyone else out there in the world. Yes, of course, officers occasionally do make mistakes, but by and large, the men and women in uniform are doing the right things for the right reasons, in fact, very altruistic reasons. They are putting themselves in harm's way for us. So I think my one message to folks is be cognizant of the very, very tough job that those men and women in uniform are doing every single day, and recognize the very dangerous risks that they all face voluntarily. They choose, they purposely put themselves in harm's way for us. So my message would be find your local police officer, whether they're in a coffee shop or standing on a corner directing traffic, yell out to them and say, thank you. Thank you for your service. Thank you for being willing to put your life on the line to protect me.
Thank you. I appreciate your time and your efforts, Bill, as always. Bill Alexander, CEO of the National Law Enforcement Officers Memorial Fund. I think we need to remember, just because somebody puts a uniform on, that doesn't make them perfect. Where would we be without law enforcement? God bless the brave men and women that do it. When we come back, speaking of law enforcement, JPSO recently fell victim to a large phishing scam. And when I saw this, the first thing that hit my mind, I'm sure as it did a lot of other people, is, if it can happen to them, how easily could it happen to me? Well, we'll talk with Alex Hammerstone about that, Director of Advisory Solutions for Trusted Sec. Also about an email scam almost got me. 8:45, quarter till 9. Peyton Malone, WWR Louisiana forecast, weather forecast, are telling us there's a chance, a 60% chance that we might see rain like we did yesterday afternoon. It's hard to tell where it's going to fall, because they are predicting the future here, right? So just be flooded street aware. I don't think the city has changed neutral ground parking or allowed it. I haven't gotten a NOLA ready text yet. So if anything changes there, we'll certainly let you know. And we saw this story about the JPSO, an auditor revealing that JPSO had stolen email scammers up $1.1 million from the Jefferson Parish Sheriff's Office. And immediately my thought was, well, if it can happen to them, what chance do we have? And I got some other suspicious texts and emails, so it's always a good idea to check in with our friend Alex Hammerstone, Director of Advisory Solutions for TrustedSec, to see what the latest is. How you doing, Alex?
Not too bad. It's 62 degrees here in Cleveland today, so it's a heat wave for us.
Well, I'll take it. We love it here because it's starting to get hot and humid in summertime and afternoon showers and all that stuff. And late April and May is not good for us when it comes to rain and street flooding. Let's talk about what happened here with the Jefferson Parish Sheriff's Office and what this scam looked like.
So these scams are incredibly common. And I think what's interesting is, you know, it's only really a news story because it was the sheriff's department. And so we see these things all day, every day, both with businesses and, you know, people in their personal lives being scammed out of large sums of money. I mean, sometimes it's a couple thousand dollars, sometimes it's hundreds of thousands of dollars. And as you see in the story, millions of dollars. Mm-hmm. And what's pretty common is that scammers will ask you for money, right? And the easiest way to do that is to get you to wire the money or send money, you know, to a fake account. So what they'll do is you'll get an email that looks like what you're expecting, right? It's a pretty common invoice or, you know, kind of your accounts payable. And they'll just change the account number. So everything will look good. Everything will look like it should, except they've changed the account numbers. And there's a couple of different ways they can do this, right? Some are just, you know, phishing emails, you know, that they'll just send it to everybody and ask you for a payment. But we also sometimes will see that a scammer will break into someone's email and then send the request from the real email address. And that's incredibly tough to detect. I mean, imagine if you and I were, you know, had a business relationship and paid each other every week and someone broke into my email and then just changed the account numbers and sent you the email you've been getting every week, but with a new account number, you're going to fall for it.
I saw an email from AT&T, allegedly, purportedly from AT&T, and I even sent Jordan, our producer, a screenshot of it because I almost fell for it. It's amazing how what you get on the email can look exactly like the AT&T site, but then when you got to look at the address where it came from, right? That's where the proof is in the pudding?
So that's a tough one, right? Because I took a look at that email, and the only thing that really jumped out as being a bit unusual was the address it came from. Mm-hmm. But the challenge is companies use third parties or kind of unique email addresses and domains legitimately all the time. So it's really tough to tell. And when you look at kind of the emails that we get every day from companies, it's very easy just to copy and paste all that text and create the exact same email. You know, we're used to these phishing emails with misspellings and all those other things. But these days, that's not always a good indicator. You know, oftentimes these phishing emails look perfect.
So I didn't know Jordan had shared a picture of that with you that I got?
Yes, he did share it. That's the only way I saw it. Don't worry, I wasn't in your
no,
email.
No. I don't care about that. I'm just wondering, so that was not a legitimate email, was it?
It didn't look like it, you know, kind of based on the return address. You know, and again, that's the challenge is, these emails can be absolutely identical to legitimate emails. You know, if you look at, you know, how easy it is to copy the content of a website, I mean, it really is copy-paste the code. Mm-hmm. And so you can create kind of mirrored websites or, you know, exact copies of emails that are going to trick a lot of people. You know, it'd be very easy. You know, I live and breathe this stuff every day.
Right.
And that email that you received is something that I could easily fall for.
Right? I almost
if I'm just
did.
Not paying attention.
Yep, I almost
blame
did.
You.
And then I check the address. So when we're talking about phishing, but if I wanted to go phishing, phishing with this website to see what they were up to, let's talk about that when we come back and some things you should do and not do. Also, the latest scams that are going around with the text messages, 504-260-1870. If you have any questions about the latest internet scam, Alex Hammerstone, our guest, Director of Advisory Solutions for TrustedSec, he's our go-to guy. And we'll pick it up here. We'll come back on WWL. Right now, look at traffic. 8:55 and a half, Tommy Tucker, WWL, talking to Alex Hammerstone, our friend, Director of Advisory Solutions for TrustedSec. about the latest internet scams that are going around, and somebody else texted me about an AT&T email that they got, and I don't want to disclose, obviously, my private information here, but Jordan did share a screenshot of it with you, Alex, and you said it would have caught you. It almost caught me. What's the best thing to do in a situation like this? Because it looks exactly like it's from AT&T. And again, the only thing that tipped me off is when I went to the address to reply, and it had talked about information being compromised, etc. Now, I mentioned before the break, if I were to go FISHING just on a little exploratory mission probing to see what they were looking for, can I get into trouble doing that or not? Or is it best just to leave it alone?
It's best really to leave it alone. Mm-hmm. You know, what they're looking for is for you to click, and it'll open up a web page that'll look like what you expect, right? It'll be a copy of the legitimate site, and it will ask you for your username and password. Mm-hmm. And so once they have that, they have access to your account. And so it's really best to leave these things alone. But what's interesting is, you know, we all get these emails from companies all the time, right? We get them from places we shop or utilities or what have you. And it's convenient, right, to click in a link from your utility company or your phone company. But really the best advice is if you get an email from your cell phone provider or your electric company or what have you, is to, you know, then go directly to the website, right? Don't click on a link in the email, but go to AT&T.com or the site that you know is legitimate and go from there. But clicking in the links to the emails, you know, can get you in trouble.
I got a text here from a listener that says they've gotten a text that says you've been randomly selected for an important scientific study focusing on Louisiana voters. Could be a legitimate pollster, could not be. How do you deal with those, Alex?
So that's a tough one, too. You know, I get a ton of the polls, you know, people asking me, you know, what I think of certain things. I hate to say it, but it's usually best to just to ignore them because it's pretty common that they may be a scam. They may be looking to, you know, harvest personal information. And it may be somebody doing that, again, to scam you or maybe just to put you on a mailing list. So, you know, certainly there are legitimate polls out there. You know, the pollsters are going to reach out to people in ways that they're used to, right? I mean, people don't have home phones anymore, so the polling's moved to other ways. But random text, I mean, a text that you weren't expecting, you can generally just ignore that.
So when it comes to Social Security, somebody texted in, they don't know what to do because I have a neighbor of mine that's on Social Security. He'll come over and show me things occasionally that say it is official from Social Security that they'll never call you or whatever. Can you trust the snail mail when it comes in, or do they fish snail mail to make it seem as though, okay, trust this and not the internet, when in fact what you're getting out of your mailbox is fraudulent?
So, you know, especially with Social Security, there are really two types of snail mail you might get that are illegitimate or not what you want. The first is, you know, somebody that's, you know, 100% a scammer and trying to steal your data. Mm-hmm. And they very well may, you know, mail you these days. The other one, though, is things that, you know, they're not necessarily illegal, but they're illegitimate, right? It's somebody that's trying to sell you something and, you know, purporting to be endorsed by the Social Security Administration or what have you. So those are tough as well. It just really feels like the scammers are coming at us, you know, from every medium and, you know, everything. They're throwing everything they can at us, and they're coming at us with texts and mail and email and telephone calls and everything else.
That's why I got my money in a coffee can hidden in the backyard. Thank you, Alex. I appreciate it.
Have a great day.
You have a good day. All right, Alex Hammerstone, Director of Advisory Solutions for TrustedSec. Now that I've said that, I got to go dig a new hole. We'll be back talking about food recalls and more on WWL.